Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. It's good to see everybody here today to worship the Lord. It's always a wonderful day when we can come together and fellowship and learn and just seek out God with all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our soul and allow the Spirit of God to work in us. So if you are a guest this morning, we want to offer a special welcome to you for being here. We'd like to have you go into your program here, your bulletin, and in there is a connection card in which, it's not really a card, it's a piece of paper. And if you would like to fill that out and put that in the offering bag as it goes by, we would love to contact you. We have a gift up here, too, as well. If you're a guest and would like to come down and talk to me after the service, I'll be down here. I have a little gift for you as well. I've had people ask me if they could have one if they've been here 100 years or more, and that would be fine as well. So, and I don't know if we have anybody here that old yet. I'm sorry, I just lost my track of thought. Okay, so good morning. We have an announcement. Do I have a slide for that? I don't have a slide for that. So what is the announcement? It is a couples getaway that is coming up. A couples getaway is coming up. Be here at the church. So if you look in your program, you'll see some information about that. This is designed because one of the things that we really want to emphasize here at the church are healthy relationships and healthy marriages. And what we know is that if you have children, sometimes it's difficult to get away and just have a date night. So we are offering for those people who have children and are going to go out on a date here at the church, we're going to offer childcare for you. So that information is in the program. Take a look at that, and you can call the office for more information as well. What I'd like for you to do at this time is to stand up and turn to the person next to you and say, "It is a wonderful day, praise God." And it's a wonderful day, praise God.
You may be seated.
Thank you for coming out this morning. Why don't you continue to worship our God through prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, I am forever humbled. How awesome and powerful you are, and yet the amazing grace. You are so mindful of us. Thank you. Lord, I ask for mercy this morning. For healing, for peace, for understanding. We thank you for Bob Lee. Continue to watch over him and give him peace. And Dan Sprague, Carrie Miller, John, Janet Blank, lift them up to you. Gene Shanefelt and little Rory and his family. Continue to bless them and watch over them. Thank you for Mark Amstutz, bringing him home. Continue to watch over him. And Doug, thank you for that. We pray that he'll go home soon. Lord, we have received so much from you, so many blessings. May we honor you by returning them back to you through our offering. We pray that you'll bless that offering that we give to you so that your work may be done. In Jesus' name, amen.
To be able to sing that in Christ we are his child. You know, it always comes to the power of the Holy Spirit who awakens our eyes and enlightens us to the gospel. And it's a wonderful to hear stories of people who have come along through the years and have been faithful to the Lord. We all have stories, and stories are captivating. And so this morning, what we're going to do, we're going to do this on occasion throughout the year, and just to hear one another's stories. Stories encourage us, they motivate us, they inspire us. And so this morning, I would like to invite Wally and Wanda Geiger to come on up. We have a couple chairs here, and then we have our interviewer. We're doing these in an interview process. Mrs. Carmen Couples. And they are going to talk to you a little bit about their lives and their story. Do you have microphones? Well, I suppose we do. I'm going to let you have that one.
Are you guys nervous?
Oh, not at all. This is old time.
You are. Okay, when I asked you that question, if you'd be nervous, you said no, you wouldn't be. Well, I'm so excited to do this. It was probably May or June I was talking to Brandon, and I was like, Wally and Wanda, I always thought I would be a missionary. And so when I've just known your story, and I just had this compelling sense that you need to share something that I need to hear for my life. And when I went to Pastor Paul and presented it, that he believed that there's something then that God wants to share through all of this. So this has been several months that I have wanted to be able to speak with you and ask you about what God has done in your life and what you've seen him do through you. So for people who don't know, how many years were you missionaries in France?
40. Yes.
And you've been home how long now?
21, I think.
You think?
97 to 98, yes, 21.
Good, I'm glad you can do the math. All right. So,
but it's never too late to be a missionary.
Very good. All right, so let me ask you this question. So for people who don't know you, because in some ways, until I started this process, I didn't know much about you. So tell me, for people who don't know, where are you from originally? Are you Putnam County people, Hancock County people? Where are you from originally?
I'm from Bluffton, and my home church is Ebenezer.
Okay, okay.
I'm here from the, in fact, I started here in the church in 1928. Everybody should know me by now.
You're going to get that prize. You're reaching for that 100-year member prize, aren't you?
Oh, I'm working towards it.
Yeah, you're getting close. All right. And then your family. So both originally from the area, but you have your own family. You have children. How many children?
We have three children. Okay. Two boys and a girl. Nancy, Craig, and Philip.
Okay.
They're both in the States here. Nancy's in Virginia. Craig is in the Chicago area. And Philip is in New Hampshire.
Okay. All right. Okay. So the part that I've been wanting to hear all about this is, tell me, where did your relationship with the Lord begin? Tell me about that time.
In our new Bible study that we're going to start this week, there was a question. We were to list 12 times when God showed up in our lives. And I thought, oh, that was good. I think I listed my 12 times, maybe 10. And then I thought I would share that with you. The first time is when I accepted Christ. I remember accepting him at 12 years old with my mother. And there was a sad part to that, because I did not live for the Lord during high school. And I'm ashamed of it now, and I regret that. But meeting Wally Geiger changed everything. I have to bring him into the story, because I think he was the one that set me right. We started to date, and we found that we had many things in common. And then we heard a professor from a Bible school in Omaha. He heard of this professor and heard him speak in this church. And then I heard him down at the St. John, or at the Ebenezer. And separately, we both decided to go to Bible school. And I said one night, I said, I'm going to Bible school. And he said, I am too. At this school, I had a definite call to the mission field. I know where I sat in the chapel, and I know the conference, the mission conference that was taking place. And then Wally, also went to the same Bible school, and then he answered the call to the ministry too, and we went to seminary. He went to seminary in Winona Lake, Indiana. And after seminary, we started looking into the Evangelical Alliance mission, and we applied to go to India. And we arrived at the orientation classes, and they said that we couldn't go to India. So the door closed there, but the door opened to France, and we just praised the Lord for that, and we saw how he led us step of the way. Especially when we had to look for our support. You know, a missionary has to get out on the road and look for their financial support. Am I not holding this right? Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, well. Thank you. I'm not used to this. And it was a blessing to see how the support came in and confirmed our going to France. And then each time that we came home on leave, we had to look for more support, and he would provide for that. And it was also another sign that the Lord wanted us back in France.
So can I jump in?
Yes, you can.
Okay. So when you were little and you made that decision, mm-hmm. you wanted to live.
No, it was in Bible school. I wasn't.
The first one. Christ. Yes. What was it that drew you to him? Why did you want to make that choice?
Well, my mother, I had a very wonderful mother, and she had dedicated my brother and I to the Lord's service. I didn't know that at that time, but she was the one, and we knelt down by my bed, and I accepted Christ. And I was very convinced that I knew the Lord, and I knew he was my Savior. I'd been brought up in Sunday school class, but just living in high school, going to high school, I was ashamed of talking about him.
So what brought you back? What brought you to that point that you're like, I want to go to Bible study? And it was him.
Wally.
What was it about Wally?
What was it about Wally?
Yeah, what was it about Wally?
It's rather a long story, and we don't want to go into that.
I didn't know about it.
You didn't know about it. Well, it was just the fact that we had things in common, and I knew that was what my mother wanted. I was perhaps dating fellows that weren't Christians, and she wasn't too happy. And I think she knew that Wally came from a good church, and she probably knew his parents too, although I didn't know him that well when he called me for the first date.
Okay, so I want to have Wally jump in here. So tell me, when did your relationship with the Lord begin?
As I mentioned, I was born in 1928 and actually started attending church in 1928. But I was also born to a Christian family. I thank the Lord for Christian parents, and they had an impact on my life as well, having devotions and occasions, and then also prayer at meals. They were both involved here in the church. I attended the Sunday school for children, and I learned a lot about the Lord. I learned about his coming to earth, his birth, Christmas celebrations. Learned about his life, his teaching, his miracles, wonderful things, his death and his resurrection. But that was all academic, having an academic knowledge of the Lord in that way. It wasn't until at the age of 17 that I came to realize that that wasn't sufficient for heaven, and that I was indeed a sinner, and I needed to repent of sin and accept the Lord as my Redeemer. So it was at that point that I really became a child of God. I didn't date during the high school years, but after graduating in 46, I began to look around a little bit, and I did date two girls. And then my sister, Treva, came and suggested to me, why don't you call Wanda? I knew about her. She knew about me. That was about the extent we had never talked together. And I gave it some serious thought. Treva ended up in Mali as a missionary. So I went to the phone hanging there in the hall, I called Wanda and suggested that we perhaps go out. And pleasantly, she said yes.
I am glad he called me.
And that's where the dating started. And as she shared with you that one evening when she said she was going to Grace, I told her I was going to go as well. And from there on, she gave you a little bit the background of what took place.
So when you accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior, you knew him academically, but what changed in your life that gave birth to this desire then, I want to keep growing and learning and eventually go into the missions field?
Yeah, well, I think it came to realize that the scriptures are very clear. If we don't accept the Lord as our Savior and Lord, we do not have heaven as our... He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so that decision was made based upon the knowledge of Scripture. And as a result, I think my father had other ideas, perhaps farming later on. But I just felt the Lord was leading us into something else. And it began with Grace Bible Institute. And there was a decision to make there after we were married, after she completed her studies, and I went an extra year. And at the close of the school year, I came to the conclusion that and praying and studying in God's Word, that I needed a little further preparation, and then went on to seminary. Now, in both of these schools, there was a presentation of missions, a strong presentation, and we felt that that would be the direction. Actually, when I graduated from seminary, I had an offer of a pastorate in a church, and I turned it down. I didn't feel that was where the Lord was leading us. And we had contact with Charles and Anita Warren. On one occasion, they came to Winona Lake and sharing of their ministry in India. And we were more, little by little, led to go in that direction. And she gave some of the details of that being closed. There was a missionary that was on... came home for candidate school that was pioneered the work in France. He presented the need there, and we just felt that this was the direction the Lord had led us.
So as you began that process, and then you ended up in France,
yes.
For those who don't know, what would you say your role was when you were over there?
What we did over there? We entered... We left here in 1957 and arriving in France on April 1st of that year. We had 2 years of language study. The team mission in France was primarily church planting. And after the 2 years of language, we began that study. Maybe you could put on the screen here just to give you an idea of what took place. There were 16 missionaries on the field when we arrived. And two churches were in the process of being developed when we arrived there. And as a result, we launched into the church planting. The pioneer missionary that directed the field in 77, decided that he wanted to go into the Christian college work, and he returned to the States. And the field suggested that I take over the leadership of the field, which I did then for 17 years or 16 years. And our personnel grew from 16 originally to 60 by the 1993, at which time I had arrived at retirement. You'll see here on the screen these 20-some churches that developed as a result of our church planting ministry. We would put couples together, team up, and develop the work in that way.
So there's definitely a million and one questions I could ask you, because you were there for 40 years.
You may have to want to limit to
one
or two.
We're going to narrow it in. So what would you say, as you step back now, and you look at that life that God asked of you, what would you say you saw him do in that season.
Okay. I want to take also this occasion just to thank you, the church here, for your prayers and your support. This is the fruit of what you were doing and have done and continue to do. I would say one of the wonderful things that we have seen as we have pioneered the work, we have seen other past French pastors come along. That was our goal, that they would take the work when these churches were able to support them as well. They would need to support. There's often a building involved. But I think the greatest joy is to see there's 20 nationals now that are in this work. There's still missionaries developing new works. And it's just a joy to see the French people come to know the Lord. It's quite a multicultural situation. People from different backgrounds that come to this area of Paris. You'll see Paris there in the middle. One Sunday, I had the idea of seeing how many in a church plant we were involved in could say John 3:16 in their native tongue, and it was 16. And so it was quite a variety. France is a highly cultural country, Catholic background, of course, but a tremendous, tremendous need. It's not an easy work, it's difficult, but it's the Spirit of God that does the work and brings the results.
So as we close, and if you could share one thing with everybody that you want them to know about who God is, what would you say it is? And you can both respond to that.
I would say that it's such a blessing to see how the Lord leads and takes you step by step. And he's still doing this, and we're still learning. And I think that is the most important thing. I was just going to mention in one of these things was that he carried us through some scary times. One was Wally's almost drowning. And then we had some accidents in France and one here. But he brought us through those things. And I guess he's just not finished with us.
I'm glad.
Yeah, as the pastor mentioned about somebody being here at 100 years of age, I'm working towards that. I'm 90 now. I think the key thing, my verse that guided me, especially was in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. I think it's so important today that we really trust the Lord. We trust his word. It's being thrown aside. It's being pushed away. But we need Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father by him. And he is the key as well as the Spirit working through us, in us. And not to be afraid to share it. I enjoy so much getting on spiritual subjects with people. Handing out tracts and pointing them to the Lord. He is key in our lives and all that we do and say, we need him.
Thank you very, very much.
Wally, you said you're 99? You are 99. 90. Oh, okay. I didn't want to miss something there, so I just wanted to make sure. Thank you very much, you know, and you are a blessing to us as a church, and so glad to have you here. Now, I do want to point out that, you know, here at 90, and I'm not even going to ask Wanda's age, 50, Wanda's 50. Oh, to be 50 again. Wally teaches an ABF, so he is continuing ministry, and Wanda is going to be teaching a women's small group this. See, you never retire as a Christian. You know, you are always in ministry. And sometimes I think what happens in life is that we get older and people say, I've been here, done that. And I'm so, what an example to us that that you have not stopped ministry and being faithful to the Lord. Thank you very much. Again, I want to read to you a couple passages because I'm making a transition between Wally and Wanda and our baptisms here. So I want to read to you from Deuteronomy 32:7. It says, "Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father, and he will show you. Your elders, and they will tell you. When the Most High gave to the nations their inheritance." And then from Ephesians 1:11-12. "In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory." We're having some baptisms this morning of some high school students, and I want to say this to really high school students this morning, and younger as well, is that you don't get to where Wally and Wanda are until you begin where the high school students are starting, and that is by placing their faith and trust in Christ wholly, and then to be obedient and being baptized for him in his name. And so this morning, what we're seeing is the generations between of people who have come to know Christ as high school students, as in junior high, and then being faithful for generations. And then we're watching the testimonies and listening to the testimonies of high school students who have given their lives to Christ and in faith are going to be baptized in his name. And so I want to encourage you as high school students, if you're not a believer, that like what Wally said is that it is in him, in Christ, that we have salvation, in which we have redemption, in which we have then a relationship with the Father. It's through faith and his death and resurrection that brings us into the family of God. And then I want you to take an opportunity to talk to somebody, whether it be a parent or a youth leader or me or somebody, about having that kind of relationship with Christ. And that goes with anybody, whether you're a high school student or younger or older. If you have not given your life to Jesus, this is the moment, this is the day to do that. And we want to encourage you to speak to somebody. How do I come to know Lord Jesus as my Savior and Lord? Right now we want to have Paul Genther, I guess this is where we're going, Paul Genther, to come up. He is going to be leading this aspect of our service this morning.
We have three students who have decided to be baptized, so we're going to ask Tayton to come forward, and he's going to share a little bit of his story with you.
All right, so I'm Tayton Clayman. I'm a sophomore at Bluffton High School, and I'm getting baptized today because I want to make my faith more public and grow stronger and deeper in my faith. And what baptism means to me is making like a proclamation of your faith. It's telling the world and to people around you that you want to live for God and be an example of God. And it makes you people know that you believe in Jesus Christ. And by believing, I believe that God has created in his image, and us in his image, to be like him. But sin separated us from him, and he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for us and wash our sins by his death. He made a way for us to get to heaven, but it cannot be done by works or good deeds. You have to accept Jesus Christ into your heart, believe for him, and live for him, and you have eternal life in heaven with him. And I've always believed this since I was young, and I accepted Christ when I was very little. I don't remember the exact date and time. I wish I did, but I grew up in a Christian home, went to church, went to Pioneer Club on Wednesday every week, and I never really took it seriously, but I believed. It wasn't until the summer before my eighth grade year, I went to Miracle Camp, and my counselor Alex, we did some group stuff, and it really changed me and made me really take it seriously. And then that led on to high school, which is a big change. And so small groups at Yoder's really helped me find a good group of kids to hang out with and be influenced by. And then we went to Chicago this summer, and that also really changed me because I didn't realize how many people didn't actually know of Jesus Christ and the Lord. And it made me want to be an example of him and so people can see him in me. And that's led to today. So I just want to be an example of the Lord.
Who's praying for Tayton? Dad, come on up.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for Tayton and his desire to be baptized today. It won't always be easy for him, but Lord, I pray that he seeks you in the good times and the bad. Lord, I pray that you use Tayton and that maybe he be a light to others. And it's in your holy and precious name. Amen.
Thank you. Good job. Next, we're going to have Celia come forward.
Hi, my name is Celia Smith. I'm a sophomore at Bluffton High School this year. I was born into a Christian family. I accepted Christ when I was really little. We went to church in Kenton. And when I was around 4 years old, we moved houses, which meant we also could no longer go to our church. So when I was 4, 5, 6 years old, I was church hopping around a lot. We were going to different churches to find the place we wanted to be. We were never at the same church for 2 weeks in a row until we found this church, which was really special for me because as a little kid, I felt like I needed somewhere to plant my faith and be able to grow. And this church was a good place for me to do that. I met a lot of people that I go to school with, and they were good influences for me. And my best friend, I met her when I first got to Bluffton. She lived right down the street from me, and every day after school, I would go to her house. She lived right down the street. I just ran there every day after I had my homework done, and her dad was a pastor. We would put on little Bible plays together, and he would preach to me and just tell us Bible stories as we were growing, and that was a very high point in my faith. But when I was a fifth grader, sixth grader, she moved away, so I lost that connection that I had almost daily. And that was hard for me because she was a best friend, and he was a really Christian influence for me. But the year after that, I attended my first year of YFC camp, and I had the greatest counselors and the greatest people there with me. And that is one of, like, I've been to tons of camps, and I've never grown more than at that camp. And that was a very high point for my faith. And then after that was my eighth grade year, where playing volleyball, I suffered a major concussion about three quarters of the way through my season. And that was the end of my season for me. I couldn't even go to my teammates' games because the noise would bother my head. I couldn't watch them, couldn't go to practice. So that was really hard for me. I couldn't do my homework. I couldn't really read. Computers bothered me. I was angry at God, and that was scary because he'd always been so good to me. I'd never been angry at him before. And that was one of my lower points. Freshman year was an eye-opener. I had teachers I didn't necessarily agree with. I had friends that maybe shouldn't have been in my life. I was just faced with coaches that I didn't always agree with. And high school was just, it's high school. You know, people tell you that freshman year is freshman year. And that was freshman year. But after freshman year, Paul started talking about this trip to Chicago. And I remember, oh, this is just a missions trip. This is, you know, we're going to go build houses, help people. This is just the mission trips you hear about all the time. But I realized it was much different than that. We went to Wheaton College, spent some time there, and learned how to share the gospel. And then they sent us out to the streets of Chicago, and we talked to random strangers and told them about God. And that day, I remember the first day I was out there, I was about as nervous as I am right now. And I just remember that was the highest point in my faith I've ever had, because that was the day I learned that not only can God change your heart, but he changed my personality. Like, if it wouldn't have been for Chicago, I don't think I would be up here doing this. All of the girls I was with, most of them chose to get baptized, and I just wasn't here the first day, so I'm doing it now. And I just don't know if I would have had the bravery to do this without Chicago. I'm glad I have people to do it with, and I am so happy with where I am in my faith. I just had an amazing night. I'm so tired from homecoming last night, but I just had a great night there with my friends, and that's where I am today.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, how precious your Son, Jesus Christ. How precious that you made a way, that you wanted so much to have a relationship with us, that you made a way through the cross. And we thank you for Celia and that you have drawn her, that she understands that great gift of what you've done for her, and that you've brought her into that relationship with you, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that she is following the step of obedience, that we have seen, you know, this beautiful symbol of her going under and her old self, denying her old self and being this new creation in you, Lord. Lord, we thank you so much for the people you've put in her life, her parents, friends, their parents along the way, this church body, how you've brought these people to encourage her in her walk. Be with each one of us, that we would continue to encourage her and walk alongside her as she continues this walk in you, Lord. Continue to make her bold to share what you've done in her life and that she can share that with her friends and those around her. How beautiful the cross, Lord. Amen.
All right, finally we have Lexi. Where's Lexi? There she is. Come on up.
Okay, so I'm Lexi Neuenschwender, and I'm also a sophomore, but I go to Pandora, and I've also grown up in this church, and at Pioneer Clubs is where I first accepted Jesus to be my Savior. I was in first or second grade, and they gave the talk on heaven and hell, and hell scared me to death, and I knew I did not want to go there, so I said the prayer, and I went home that night and I started thinking, and I was like, okay, there's a whole lot of people in this world and there's only one God. So what if God didn't hear me and Jesus isn't in my heart? So I said the prayer again and again and again. And finally I had a talk with my mom and I realized that that's not really how it works. And from then on, I just prayed because I was supposed to, and that's because that was what people at church told me to do. And so my relationship with Jesus didn't really begin until Miracle Camp in fifth or sixth grade. I went with my friends, and I was just going because my friends were going, and I thought it would be fun. But the pastor explained that Jesus died for me, and yes, there's a whole lot of people in this world, but He chooses to love me every single day, and He chose me to be His child, and He just loves me so much that He would die for me. And I just knew that if somebody wanted to do that for me, then I wanted to live my life for them. And so from then on, I was just on a high for Jesus. I was always doing devotions and Bible studies and praying, and my relationship with God was great. But Satan did not really like that. And so he put the lie in my head that I wasn't enough. And I just always thought that if I didn't get such a grade on a test, or if I didn't score so many points in a game, I just wasn't enough. And I didn't really think about it in like a Christian sense. I just thought that that was normal, that I just needed to be better. Until one night I was doing a Bible study, and it told me to read Romans 3. And so if you want to turn there, I'm going to read that in a second. But I read it, and just right away, I just realized how stupid it was to think that I was ever not enough, because I'm created by a perfect God. So I'm going to read that to you. I'm going to read 10 through 12 and then 19 through 14 in Romans 3. So it says, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. And then verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sins. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. And so I read that, and I just realized right away that God made me and God loves me, and that makes me enough. I'm never going to score a good enough grade. I'm never going to score enough points. I'm never going to be good enough unless I have Jesus. And I had Jesus, and so I knew that that's all that mattered, and that was enough for me. And so that lie was out of my head, and now I'm being baptized, and I'm being baptized because I want everybody to know my faith and that I'm not ashamed of my faith. And I also want to be on a high for Jesus. I just want to be a light for him. But like Miracle Camp, I know that Satan won't like that. So I know he's going to try to put lies in my head, and I just hope that I'm strong enough to not believe them, and I know God is on my side, so I know that I'll be fine. And so that's why I'm being baptized.
Great job.
All right, Dad, come on up.
It's always great when you're walking into church and your daughter goes, "You get to speak today." So let's pray. Lord, we lift up Alexander Noel to you today. As a father, I can't help but feel blessed by this gift that you had given her mother and I. Please be with her. She goes through this journey. Today is not a finish. It is a start. And the fact that she is in the Word, learning from your teachings, and that effort and exercise should continue throughout her life. And as she learned at a young age to get into the Word, let her do that as she continues into adulthood. She's growing up really quick. But with your guidance, her mother and I have all the confidence in the world that she will continue on the path. So please be with her as the devil, as she said, inserts himself, so she's prepared to fight on your behalf. Let her be the light, and we thank you for this church and the support that she has had since she's been born. In your name we pray. Amen.
Wow. See, she was born here too. You're going to be 90 years old someday. Coming back from the mission field. You know, I think that's one of the neatest things as we look at this is that two things. One, life is a mission as Christians. We don't go off to the mission field. We are in the mission field. But yet, at the same time, there are there are places around the world that have never heard the gospel. So I want to encourage you today that you're never too young or too old to go to the mission field. But I want to encourage you even more that you are in the mission field today. And as we've heard the testimonies, both of Wally and Wanda and these young people, we can all stand up and say, amen. So stand with me, and we're going to sing a song that's called, "And All the People Said Amen." Amen. Have a good week in the Lord. Go out and make a disciple.